night for us, because not only have we just started going live with the show, but we've got our first in-studio live guest as well. We are so pleased to be welcoming Shiraz Soyt. Have I pronounced that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Look, honoured to be here, guys. Great to see the show started up.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we brought Shiraz in to talk about the national game in New Zealand and the local game, amongst many others, and get his wonderful opinion on stuff like the Pittsburgh Steelers. So tonight on the show, what you can expect is we're kicking off with some news, and then we'll be going into our interview with Shiraz. But to give you a bit of an idea of Shiraz, so started in American football in New Zealand in 2008, played both full contact and flag versions of the game, wide receiver in both formats. That'd be worth a lot of money in the NFL.
Well, it is, but not as important as the offensive line, some would argue.
And then inducted to the Tamaki Lightning Hall of Fame in 2025. That's impressive.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
Hall of Fame's impressive.
It is. Hall of Fame of any club is impressive. Currently playing flag, however, coaching in all formats. That's contact men's, youth and flag men's. Tamaki Lightning Club President, one of the largest clubs in the country since 2011, celebrated its 25th year last season. Chairman of the American Football Auckland from 2019 to 2022, brought in the changes to the game, which included introducing flag football and the eight-a-side contact formats. Inaugural head coach of the New Zealand National Men's Flag Football Team, the NZ Mako.
Marco.
Yep. Marco, like the shark, Darren. Yep. I'm guessing, yeah.
Like the shark.
We know about my pronunciation challenges, right, DT?
Yes, we do.
We do.
They're quite fun.
Played our first international tournament in 2016, the World Championships in Miami. You went to Miami?
Yeah, we did.
Oh,
yeah,
how cool. Was that great?
Yeah, oh, fantastic.
Did you watch the Dolphins?
Real muggy. Yeah, we did. No, we watched a college game down there. Dolphins went in town.
Okay, which college game did you see?
University of Miami at the time, yeah.
The U.
The U, at Hard Rock, which is awesome.
That's the Dolphins Stadium, yeah.
Yep.
The U.
The U. You're going to throw out the U.
Continued coaching the New Zealand Marco through campaigns in 2023, the Asia Oceania Championship and 2024 World Championship, includes getting a silver medal at the Asia Oceania Championship and hitting a high ranking of 8th in the world. Stepped down as head coach of the national program in 2024. What was that like, getting a silver medal?
Oh, it was great. Like, it was a massive tournament. We had goals of, you know, making sure we beat Japan, who were the top team in the region. We did that. Lost in the final, but it was just such a surreal experience, that one.
Who won the final?
Oh, it was Thailand who won it. And believe it or not, they've got one of the best flag football programs in the world.
Expats or...?
Well, so, yeah, they do have some players who are expats who have lived in the States and come back. But the level of natural talent, athleticism, they don't have the depth in the country. The top-tier talent, though, is phenomenal.
Is it speed? Because obviously, what I know of Thai people, quite not massively built, but would be, I would suspect, fast.
Absolutely. You're super agile, super fast. But also, the condition, it was in Malaysia. Half the game was in a tropical cyclone.
Oh, no, that's so hot.
And so we went from the really hot first half to an absolute tropical cyclone in the second half. We can't train for that.
No, you can. There's nowhere in New Zealand you can train for that, right? No. Inside a sauna or something like that.
And spraying people with a hose, yeah.
But Thais are really good at those sort of agile sports like table tennis, badminton, you know, those fast reflex sports. That's kind of their bag.
Yeah.
And they're not bad at soccer either. Football, soccer, whatever you want to call
soccer.
It.
Soccer on the show, Dick.
Nasty. I've done a number, and Shiraz done a number of media spots representing his club, regional body, national body, national team, right across One News, Three News, Crowd Goes Wild, Mary TV, etc., etc., and claims to be the number one Bears fan in New Zealand.
I think that's probably the most undisputed portion of that bio, I reckon. I yet to find a Bears fan more resilient than myself, I should say. It's been a tough year.
In New Zealand? Because if you go to Chicago, there's some pretty hardcore
Absolutely. Sorry,
Bears
in New Zealand.
I'm still waiting for you to hear you say, bear down.
Oh, yeah, bear down, 100%.
Because normally, like, you say Chicago Bears, then they go bear down immediately.
So, I'm going to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know my opinion.
I know your opinion, yeah.
Caleb Williams.
I'll be honest, I was a Justin Fields fan. So, it's taken me a while.
Oh, look how happy Dane is.
I'm not quite there yet with Caleb Williams. I want him to succeed. But I did feel more. I still wish we kept Justin Fields and went that route. And yeah,
I don't get it. I've never got it. Mm-hmm. I struggle with it. He had one great season, and the minute he lost a few receivers and stuff, they couldn't get them to a winning record. This is his college team.
Okay, I was going to say, the Bears receivers last year were actually
came out
good.
Of his college team, and he came out of all this hype and wouldn't talk to certain teams and wouldn't do this, and I just think he's got that Aaron Rodgers trouble in the camp 2 years down the track. I hope he hasn't for Chicago, because they have suffered for a long time, but I don't know, it's the personality, the team culture fit I struggle with.
I think they've finally built a team around him, though.
Yeah.
They've got the offensive line, they've got the receivers, so we'll see.
Oh, they did an amazing job of fleecing Carolina. Oh, rebuilt that team, fleecing Carolina for Bryce Young.
Yes, I agree with you. I don't know why you're staring at me. Do you want me to keep validating you?
Please do. Just tell me that I'm just right about everything.
What do you think of the draft pick, Luther Burden?
Look, I was a bit surprised. I didn't think Luther Burden would drop that far. I remember watching him in college the year before, watched a couple of games. I thought he'll be a top 10 pick. Really surprised with both picks, Colson Loveland and Luther Burden. But they picked for value there, not positional need.
Do you think Kometa is going to be traded or not?
There's a lot of talk about 11 formations, so two tight ends on the field. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think it'll be a bit more like, you know, one of them will come out as the lead. It'll be a bit like the Michael Mayer situation, I reckon.
Yeah. I was hoping Colston Loveland was going to drop about another 10 spots, but it didn't happen.
No. Sorry, Darren.
He's a good player. The Bears have got a reasonable offense. They have certainly given Caleb Williams the best opportunity to be successful.
Yes, we've got DJ Moore, Rome, Luther. You're going to have a fun attack.
Yeah, they are. So do you want to skip into a bit of news quickly?
Sure, we can skip into some news.
Steelers,
you're going to start with TJ Watt, because we could ask Shiraz what he would like if the TJ Watt trade happened to the Bears.
I don't think TJ Watt's going to get traded. I don't think the Steelers are that dumb at this stage. The heat is the face of that franchise.
They took Aaron Rodgers.
Don't think they're that dumb. Okay.
Surely, though, right? I'd love for him to come. A bit more realistic that we might get Trey Hendrickson.
Yep.
But I don't think TJ Watt's a realistic option.
No, I think the Steelers are in a win now. They've got 1 year of Aaron Rodgers. And their behavior.
If they're winning now,
isn't.
Why would you trade George Pickens, though?
Because there were some behavioural issues there, I think.
Have they not always had behavioural issues at the wide receiver position?
But I just think they're in a win now. I don't think Mike Tomlin's there for the long term.
I don't know. He'd have to go somewhere else.
I think he'd go TV.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I don't think he goes anywhere. Where do you go after 20 winning years at the Steelers?
Where would you go, Shiraz, as a coach?
Well, I mean, Mike Tomlin will have any option he wants, really, at that. But he's so respected in coaching circles. I'd be surprised if the Steelers let him go. But, you know, probably this year is going to be a walk year for him if he doesn't do well. So we'll see.
Yeah, he's never a losing season. I reckon he could have a Sean Payton that he goes to TV for 1 or 2 years and then gets traded back into the NFL. The Steelers keep his
contract.
His contract and everything like that. So, quickly running through, it's all trade news at the minute. There's so many unhappy people in the NFL.
I know, they get paid millions of dollars.
That's right. Terry McLaurin, Tyreek Hill, Trey Hendrickson. I think Hendrickson, if he goes anywhere, probably goes Bears.
What about Lions? That's the other name that's floated out there for them.
They've got an amazing defense. They are in need because they've lost coaches, and it's going to be a big year for the Lions.
He has to deliver,
He screams Lions, though, doesn't he?
He's got
the grit factor as well.
Yeah. And not moving too far either, right? But Bears, they've probably got the draft capital to go and get him.
100%.
Without doubt.
They are looking for a defensive lineman, because they took a look at Za'Darius Smith and Matt Judon apparently recently, so would you be happy with either of them, Shiraz?
Oh, absolutely. But not those guys as much as Trey Hendrickson, but situational pass rushes,
Who would you pick, Matt Judon or Za'Darius Smith?
Probably Za'Darius Smith.
Yep.
Use him in a pass rush only role.
Yes.
I was watching a top 5 predicted defenses of the upcoming season.
Oh, yes. The Seahawks.
Seahawks in 5.
Would you put the Seahawks in 5?
defense.
Yes. I think it's just Mike McDonald and his defense, you know, that's got like this whole stigma about it. It's like a good defense. He schemes up all these people, but I don't know if he's top five.
Yeah, that surprised me. But they're always a team defense, not player-led defense, yeah. though, are they? Yeah. So.
And Ravens were two, Broncos were one, something like that?
Yes.
Yes, Ravens two, Broncos one, which was...
Philly in there as well.
Yeah.
And Vikings were in there, which that's were 100%
right.
Vikings.
Considering the Broncos were staring down a $100 million loss, you kind of thought they were going to be in the wilderness for like 10 years. Sean Payne's done an amazing job. But they got a lot to live up to after going 10 and over-delivering last year, so they got a lot to live up to.
At least they got the QB spot fixed.
Yes. Yeah. Which they've had about 38 since Peyton Manning retired in 2015 or something
nearly
like that.
Nearly as bad as the Browns.
That's right. Tyreek Hill potentially going back to the Chiefs?
Yeah, it's been floating around for a few months now. Would you see that happening?
Well, I mean, if they have him back, if he can fit his contract in. They've been looking for a Tyreek Hill since he left. They haven't quite had that, so yeah, absolutely.
The other team I've heard mentioned is the Patriots.
For Tyreek Hill? I don't think he'd like being up in the cold.
Well, I don't think he'd want to go to a team that he thought he couldn't win now.
Yes, that's true as well.
Don't know if they have the offense to use him at his best as well.
No, that's right.
Yeah. All and Josh McDaniels and Tyreek Hill, that just seems like that's going to be a powder keg by week six.
Yeah. He tends to fall out with everybody, doesn't he? And then the final bit of news, back onto local terms, the Tauranga City Trident Uniform Competition. I was excited about that.
I was very excited about it.
So I'm looking forward to what their new uniforms are going to look like.
I know, and we did put a submission in, so we have to see if we win it, yeah.
So what name do you want on the back if we win? Do you want third or footlong?
Probably third, because footlong I feel like might be interesting, interesting word to put on it.
And you obviously have a lot of connection with the Tauranga City Tridents.
Yeah, I was half jokingly going to put a lightning uniform in as the submission, but yeah. I know the Hatwell brothers and Chris and Mark, the club, they're probably just sticking right back at us that they beat us in the final, so didn't want to start that conversation.
Nah,
so
there, right? Right, so now we're going to turn the show over to you, Shiraz, so give us a bit, sort of, how did you get into football? Did you get into it as like a spectator, like watching it on TV and went, yeah, I'd love to play that? How did you kind of first get into?
Probably the other way around, actually. My first intro to football was through Madden. And the reason I joined the game is I had a couple of mates who I played basketball and rugby with in winter. We were looking for a summer game, and he'd taken a year off and played in Canada. So he found a local club, the Tamaki Lightning, brought me along, and fell in love with the game at that point. I then went on to watching the NFL. I'd always followed the Bears at a distance because I was a big Bulls fan. But, you know, I knew I had a team. I just didn't know if I liked the sport. So, yeah.
And do you follow college?
I do, but not every week. I just watch the biggest games off the week. I'm in a couple of dynasty leagues where you actually pick players from college through a Devi dynasty league. So that sort of determines who I watch on any given week. But I don't have a team, so to speak.
It's you as well. Like, you need a team, don't you?
I do need a college team.
I can help you.
I know. You've already swayed me towards one, and then I swayed away from it because you said you were a fan and I didn't want to be a fan of the team.
I did like the Oregon Ducks, and I did watch them in the Fiesta Bowl.
That's what I said to you, too. I don't know why. I think it's the team colours.
The Ducks are a good team. So who came from the Ducks? Nicks and...
Gabriel
Herbert.
This year.
Herbert came from... Yeah, Herbert as well, didn't he? Yeah.
And Gabriel with the Browns, maybe starting quarterback.
Yeah, they are the quarterback-producing team at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just like LSU with wide receivers. Just had to get my weekly LSU mention in the show.
Oh, actually, what's your favourite LSU wide receiver recently?
I'm Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase. You've got to pick one of those two, right? Depends on what you want, ball in hand.
I wasn't sure if you were going to go slightly older and go OBJ, because everyone seemed to love him for a while.
I think those two have passed OBJ, in all honesty.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
What Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase are doing on a weekly basis, it's just phenomenal.
I think what Malik Nabers did at the Giants, like an average Giants, did a great job.
What is wide receiver you for you?
Oh, look, right now, hard to. It's splitting straws between LSU and Ohio State. I think it'd be very hard to argue that. Alabama had it for a while, but I think it's firmly LSU or Ohio State at the moment.
Ohio State produced Thomas last year for the Jags, didn't they? Yeah. What do you think of our Jags friend, Travis Hunter?
From what I've heard in the off-season, he's still got a lot to learn to be able to do both positions well.
Yeah.
Right? I think he's probably going to spend a bit more time learning his primary position, get that to a point where he's NFL ready, and then get the second position, rather than trying to do both at the same time. The playbooks are so complex and so much different to college that it's going to hurt him if he's trying to do both.
He's a freak, though, isn't he?
Oh, unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Oh,
unreal.
Yeah.
So going into more local things, talk us through sort of like the national team, what's coming up over the next couple of months, and just where do you see that all fits in the global picture at the moment?
Yeah, so look, we've got two national teams. We've got the contact football national team, and we've got the flag football national team. I'm a little bit more biased towards the flag team, being former head coach there, but the contact team does have a series against Australia next week, actually.
In New Zealand or in Australia?
It's in New Zealand. It's in Gold Coast, yeah. So both the under-18s and the senior men's team are going over there.
Okay.
There are college scouts, and the game's been built up a little bit, so that should be a good opportunity for the guys. And there's a few guys from our club there as well, so I wish them all the best. But the really exciting part of the national program is the flag team, which, as you probably found out, in 2028, flag football has been entered into the Olympics in LA, and that's spurred a massive amount of growth of flag football around the world. So five on five, it's basically take the wide receivers out, and it brings football to the level of speed and contact as a game of basketball. So really easy to watch, real fun to play, and you still keep the wide receiver defensive side of the game. And look, as a national body, we're actually quite good. We're actually quite a good national team. We've got the right amount of depth. We've got really good quarterbacks in the country. We've got natural ability across players who come from touch and tag and other sports, that we've actually got the basis of, you know, the talent pool that we need. It's now about making sure that as other teams get better, we can keep up with that and keep maintaining our position, which is, I believe, a top-damn country in the world.
And are you finding that you're drawing people to play from other sports like rugby, soccer, something like that? Or are people just finding it through the growth of NFL at national level?
Yeah, so look, until about 5 years ago, growth was because it was a contact sport in the summer season where there wasn't much of a contact competitive environment. And contact was primarily the operational, the way the sport operated. With flag coming in, we're seeing people who would not otherwise play contact football would now join the game because they like NFL, they like college, they play a bit of Madden, any of the above. And with the amount of popularity that NFL is growing, it's a really good entry point to get people into the game. So we're seeing growth across both the men's, the women's, the youth, the master's grades. We had about 25 teams 3 years ago to 52 teams now at Flag National. So, yeah, huge amount of growth.
Is it well funded, or is it a real struggle to kind of raise the money to have uniforms and all of that? Well, flag probably would be uniforms, but the contact would be pads, helmets, everything else. Yeah.
And that, look, that's probably the biggest challenge. Like to kit out one player is about $1,000 in terms of helmets, shoulder pads, uniforms, gloves. You know, and that's only going upwards. But there is a little bit of funding. So the national body does get reasonably well funded through the NFL component of the TAB, but there's also other grant bodies and stuff like that do help, but that's probably the biggest challenge we've got to overcome.
Yeah. And then in October, huge competition coming up.
Yeah, so the Asia-Oceania Championship. So like we talked about, New Zealand came second last time. We finished ahead of Australia. We beat Japan. And we want, the national team will be positioning. So they're in camp at the moment. They're just going through final selections. And the real key there is to go over there, qualify for the World Cup, and bring home the gold medal.
Yeah.
Is that men's and women's? Or?
Yeah, it's for men's and women's. So sorry, cool. I only mentioned the men's there because that was my background. But the women's team is in the same boat. They finished third at the last Asia Oceania Championships, behind only Japan and Australia. But they will be doing the same thing. They've got a new coaching staff and head coach on from our club as well. They're really well positioned to go through. Their selection as well is coming out in the next week or two. So both teams are in a really good position to do well.
And what sport are the women coming from mainly?
It is quite a mix. So we've seen a lot of players come from a rugby and rugby league background.
Yep.
We're also seeing a lot of players come from a netball background as well.
Cool.
Because in the women's side of the game, flag grew around the same time as the contact program. So it's not a bunch of contact players transferring to flag.
Yep.
You've actually been, you've been able to get across other sporting codes that wouldn't naturally otherwise come to us.
That's cool.
So what have the national team got to do to get to the Olympics? What's the path?
So, look, the first thing they're going to decide is how many teams get in. So whether that's six or eight. So that number is to be determined. And from there, the first official way to qualify is next year's World Cup. So I don't know whether it's just the first or the first and second or first, second and third, but there'll be an allocation from next year's World Cup. And then it's going to go to a system that they decided, which hasn't been decided yet. And there's probably two pathways. It's either going to be the top six or eight in the world at the time of the Olympics,
yes,
or it's going to be, the Americas get a certain number, Europe gets a certain number, Asia, Oceania get a certain number. Either way, it's going to be a tough road. We've got to be at the top of our game, but it's definitely achievable and something that guys have firmly on the radar.
Do you think we've got the talent?
Across the men's and women's game, we absolutely do. I don't think it's about the talent. I think on a talent basis, we've beaten teams that are consistently in the upper echelons. The challenge is consistency. We just don't get enough game time compared to some of the other countries in Europe or America. We can play games against other nations quite easily. For us, it's the flaw in our consistency, something we've just got to get better at. Because when we play at the top of our game, we can beat just about everyone. But when we don't, that's when teams can beat us and upset us.
I think we've seen that in a lot of New Zealand sport, right? When the netball went New Zealand only, you saw that kind of drop-off of the netball, national netball team and stuff like that. And then Super Rugby had the drop-out of South African teams and stuff like that, and they're the world champions. So is the Australia thing an annual thing, or is that something that's kind of started more recently?
With the contact program?
Yeah,
so look, the contact program hasn't played an international game in about 10 years.
Wow.
This year is the restart of it, and the big reason for that is Australia, who are quite an established contact program, they've historically gone to Europe or America, whereas now they've realised that actually those pathways are quite unreliable and quite expensive.
Yeah.
So they're trying to be a lot closer in Oceania and with New Zealand. So we'll see how it goes this year.
Cool.
And are there any Pacific Islander teams in the Oceania?
So American Samoa has always been there or thereabouts, but they haven't consistently had a national program. They've just got a really big talent pathway into the colleges,
yeah.
So they don't really retain a lot of the players
around.
But Samoa have just set up a national flag program as well, so they're obviously targeting the Asia Oceania in the future. But I'd say it's growing.
That's cool. Yeah.
And moving, when you come then the level below the national sport to the local, what have you seen develop there over your time?
Yeah, so look, we brought flag in just around COVID. So the nationals have been going on for a couple of years, but the numbers have been phenomenal. The sport in itself has close to 2,000 members now. We used to be around 1,000. At nationals, we had 52 teams this year from 25 clubs. That's grown 30%. From last year, at least, and I think it was about half that 2 or 3 years ago. So what we're seeing is yes, the contact program is growing, but it's growing at a steady pace, 10 to 15% a year, but the flag program, in particular through the women's grades and the youth grades, are just absolutely being boosted through. And you see the NFL here now, they're working in schools, they're taking kids over to Pro Bowl and things like that, and all of that is just bringing more people into the game. A really good summer sport alternative.
Are you seeing that because people, like we saw people moving their kids away from rugby to football because of the contact element of it? Are you seeing that contact still getting popularity as the NFL gets popularity, but flag because contact?
Yeah.
got a few injuries
and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely the reason. Like, it's just a lot more accessible. It's a lot less injury prone and, you know, a lot more inclusive.
It's also good because flag's starting to be introduced into the college game in the US as well.
Yeah, yeah. Australia have sent their first player on his full scholarship to Australia.
Nice.
So I know in the women's grade. So, yeah, that's on the horizon.
It's interesting. Australia have had a couple of like kickers into the NFL and stuff like that.
That's because of Aussie rules, though.
I know. Yeah. But they're finding their way in there, which is good, and won't be long before we're not far behind, I don't think.
Yeah, look, we send about, I don't know, half, like 3 to 5 players a year to college from New Zealand every year. And it's not long. It won't be long now since one of those homegrown players go to the NFL. We've sent homegrown players to the European leagues, and we've got New Zealanders who are not homegrown join the NFL. What we're close to is a homegrown player from New Zealand make the NFL.
Yeah. And the local season, tell us a little bit about that. Yeah. Amount of teams, when does it start, when does contact start and flag?
How people listening can join a club.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so look, there's local seasons across all the main regions, so Auckland and Canterbury are the two big regions at the moment, and they're the only regions that have contact football. So the season for that is typically between October to February or January or February from a contact perspective, and then in Auckland we transition to flag, which goes in from February through to March, April, and the regions do it slightly different, but most of the other regions play flag only, and they start from October onwards, and we have flag nationals at the end of the season around into March, and then the national team window starts after that.
So if someone was listening and they were like, I want to try one of these, what's the best way for someone to get into the sport?
Yeah, look, I think the easiest way is to find the club closest to them. So the national body is New Zealand American Football Federation, so nzaf.co.nz, and there's a map to see which club is closest to you, and you'll have a flag football or a contact football option no matter where in the country you are.
And who do you think's going to win it all this year?
So when you say at all, there's a couple of things. So there's the Contact Kiwi Bowl, which is in Auckland.
Okay.
I'd like to say it's us, the Tamaki Lightning, but there's a couple other teams that have been dominant in the last couple of years, being the Metro Lions and the South Auckland Raiders. So one of those three teams, from a flag perspective, there's about 5 or 6 teams who can win it any given year. So that one's going to be a bit harder to predict.
Cool. I think we should go and watch some flag then, Darren.
I think we should go and compete in some flag.
Oh yeah, it would be funny to watch.
What could go worse?
I know.
We put videos out there and just embarrass ourselves on
people can enjoy
YouTube.
Watching us learn how to play football.
Which position do you think we should play?
Well, what do you like doing? Do you like catching and scoring touchdowns, or do you like defending?
Defending.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about the glory. I want to be able to
throw
the gritty and stuff like that. So
you'll be a wide receiver then, Darren, and perhaps a linebacker or a safety.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I'm very happy with that.
And is there anything else? Well, we've got about 30 to 40 seconds to go. You'd like to call out while we're on air?
No, look, it's. I think one thing we're seeing, and you guys are great examples of this, is this popularity of the NFL and American football in general is in such an incredible place. You know, 15 years ago, we would beg people to sort of learn about the game, whereas we get kids coming in now who know everything about it because of what they watch or what they play. So, yeah.
And are you going to make the trip over next year to when the NFL comes to Australia?
Yeah, look, I definitely will be. I've got a friend in Melbourne who have said I've booked out the couch for that weekend.
Nice.
Perfect.
But, that's easy for you.
I'm just waiting for the schedule, though. I'm really hoping it's an NFC game. I know the Bears do play next season. They do play the Rams. So the outside chance will be Bears.
I honestly just assumed it was going to be Eagles because Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, you think so, right? I think that's a betting favourite.
But look, Shiraz, that was amazing. Thank you very much for coming into the studio. We've got to get you back because there's so much more we could talk about.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was great.
Thank you. So I've been Darren Leaves.
And I've been DT.
So we'll catch you soon. Thank you very much for listening. And thank you, Shiraz.
Our diversity.